Title of the message today, Recording the Vision, and that phrase really comes from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3, and I have this on the screen if you would like to follow along that way, and I'm reading this from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay." Now, I'm sure that you understand the difference between the word of the Lord, which is the direct interpretation, which was, this was a prophetic word to the people of Israel, and he goes on, Habakkuk, in his delivery of the word of the Lord, goes on to explain some of the things that are going to happen. But then, besides the interpretation, there's the application. And we have opportunity to apply this word to all of us in the significance that, you know, God has given us a vision, or anyone who has been given a vision should record that vision, or should have some form of being able to communicate that vision, so that those who are going to be a part of that vision, it is recorded for them. They can read it and they can run with it, or they can apply it to themselves and they're part of that. So it needs to be recorded and then patiently pursued with the Lord's timing. Because sometimes we receive direction and vision from the Lord and it seems like it takes forever for it to happen. Do I hear an amen? You know, it's like that sometimes. And we have to learn to be patient about what the Lord speaks. Sometimes he gives direction way ahead of time to be a part of the preparation, or part of helping us make decisions about what we're going to do, because he's already given us a word. But then we have to be patient about the Lord's timing about that. So another reason for the sharing of this message is not only just to share with you a part of the vision of Praise Fellowship Church and what we're about, but because it's something that needs to be reinforced or reminded of us of. I don't think I'm going to share anything this new this morning with you, really. But you know, in our last ministry leaders gathering, it was brought up, what are we having faith for? What is our vision? What are the things that we're looking ahead to? What should we be praying about as the Lord's direction for us? And so, you know, this is a part of the intent of this morning's message, is to share that with you as well. Some of these things I shared recently, I think it was back in August, when I gave the introductions class to the whole congregation here. So again, some of it will be being reminded of or repeated, but it's good, worth repeating. First of all, let me start out with, what is our purpose? And you've heard this before, like I said, but I'm going to have you read this phrase with me if you would. The mission and purpose of Praise Fellowship Church is to love God and people too, and to make followers of Jesus. Now that phrase there comes from the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And we'll go to the scriptures to look at those and see what it was that Jesus spoke when he was speaking to his people. First of all, the Great Commandment is in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 36 through 39. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and read through verse 40. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands." So that's where we get the phrase, you know, our mission and our purpose is to love God and people too. This was the great commandment that Jesus spoke. It says fulfills all the other law, all the other words spoken by the prophets, is to fulfill this, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are two equal of commandments that are the great commandment. And then the Great Commission, which is, Matthew chapter 28, just a couple pages to your right, Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. Let me start back at verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So here again, we see not only the great commandment to love God and to love people too, but the great commission is Jesus telling us to go and preach the gospel, which we'll see what that is, but also to teach people how to observe the things that Jesus has commanded, or again, to be a follower of Jesus. I would like you to refer to your brochure now, which is something we've had printed for a long time. In fact, if you look at the pictures, you'll notice that a bunch of us were a bit younger then. The location of our services was a little bit different. This is back in the what's now our entryway. Hallelujah, we're not in the entryway anymore. But so anyway, it's kind of fun to look back even. But we see these as described. This is really kind of the vision recorded right here. So I'd encourage you to hang on to this. This is something you can refer to if you're sitting wondering, what is it? Why do we get together anyway? What's our purpose? But again, our purpose, first of all, is loving God. And in there it says, we love God through praise and worship and through practice of the scriptures. Let me just breathe through this. Worship and praise is an expression of our love to God. True worship reveals what is in our hearts. It is to be our most truthful place with God. Our desire is to please Him with our worship. There are a variety of styles and formats in which praise and worship can be expressed to God. At Praise Fellowship Church, we incorporate such instruments as guitars, keyboards, and drums. Our desire is to encourage an environment where free and spontaneous worship can be expressed to God. So there again, that's part of our desire as a church. But also we want to express our love to God through practice of the scriptures. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, we desire to do and to teach what the Bible says. Our desire is to experience the Bible, not only know it. Therefore, we value teaching with an emphasis on its application to our personal lives. We want to be followers of Jesus. In practical application, this means seeking God's will for every area of our life. This means developing an intimate relationship with a living God. So loving God, and then loving people too. And this is described through sharing the gospel and through small group meetings. The gospel is the message of the good news that God is not counting your sins against you, and you can be made right with God by accepting His gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus has granted authority to His church to preach the good news. We have a call from God to reach our local area, Dodge County and beyond, and to be involved in missions that reach other nations of the world. Aren't you glad that God gave us a good message to share? He didn't say, now go out and tell everyone they're condemned to hell. What He says is go out and tell everyone your sins have been forgiven. God's not counting your sins against you. You can be made right with God. How awesome is that? And it's through the work that Jesus did for you, not work that you have to work up to earn it from God. Hallelujah. We've got a good message to share. That's why it's called good news. But also we want to express love to people through small group meetings. Love your neighbor as yourself is a part of the great commandment. We're to love one another with the love that God has put in our hearts. Our need for fellowship leads us to place great emphasis on meeting together in small groups. We gather to worship, to learn, to explore, to share our gifts, and to bear one another's burdens. Okay, we'll leave that for now. I'll talk some more about small groups a little bit later. But then also it's our purpose and mission to make followers of Jesus. And we do that by discipling others and by training and equipping. As stated in the brochure, to disciple means to assist in the spreading of the teachings of Jesus. The commission of making disciples is not an attitude of judging one another, but helping one another grow toward God. Discipling is simply teaching and encouraging others to spiritual growth and maturity at the same time as we grow ourselves. And then by training and equipping, we must all learn to pray for the sick, to witness, to minister to the hurting, or any other scriptural activity. Education is provided through the scriptural teaching and preaching, through Bible studies and specific ministry classes. But training and equipping takes place more in small groups where there's opportunity to experience the work of the ministry. We highly value a well-equipped and mobilized community of people, able to carry on the Lord's work here on earth. With quality children's ministry, we are training children to serve the Lord with their gifts. With an excellent youth ministry, we are challenging teens to stay on the straight and narrow path that leads to life. With a dynamic parenting curriculum, we are helping parents to train their children to be biblically and morally responsible. We value the family as God's ordained unit of strength and stability for a church, a society, and a world. Can I hear an amen? That's good stuff. Okay, and then for questions or information, I'll just leave that for you. But the point of it is, again, these are the things that we desire to do as a church. Are we doing them perfectly? No, not by any means. Will we ever? Probably not, unless Jesus comes and helps us do it before he comes back. But anyway, you know, we realize that these are the things that God has given us the purpose and the desire to do, and as a part of our vision, our mission, and our purpose. So as we continue on then, what I want to encourage you and challenging you is increasing effectiveness. See, we can state these things, and we can be doing some of these things or doing them to some level of effectiveness, but as we press forward with the vision and the mission and purpose that God has given us, if we look at what is our purpose, then we can evaluate, how are we doing? You know, are we fulfilling what God has called us to do in the Great Commission, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission? And are we being effective in doing it? And so we want to increase effectiveness to be able to accomplish this as the Lord's desire for us. And that's talking about growing into an ever-increasing effectiveness in our mission and our purpose. And that's, first of all, as followers of Jesus, becoming complete in Christ. We want to be followers ourselves. How can we lead someone else to be a follower of Jesus if we're not one himself? You know, remember Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, and he said to them, you're the blind leading the blind. That's, you know, you're not going to lead someone into something you're not yourself. So first of all, we want to be followers of Jesus ourselves as individuals. In other words, growing in Christ and functioning in the body. You know that a major emphasis of mine is us becoming complete in Christ Jesus. That's what, you know, God put stirred in the heart of Paul, and he's also stirred that in the heart of myself as a pastor to present opportunity for you to become complete in Christ Jesus, to fulfill your own individual purpose and your call, growing in Christ and functioning in the body. And then as a church, becoming fully functional and fully funded, doing the work of the ministry. Those are a couple of terms that I use frequently, some that I make reference to in even the your giving report, the report that I put together. What it means to be fully functional is us using the gifts that God has given us as individuals, and so that the body is being equipped and able to do the work of the ministry as each one fulfills its part. Being fully funded is when all of us have determined to respond to the Lord in the giving of our tithes and offerings. You know, if we're holding back our tithes, then our body is not fully funded. I believe that the funding of the local church comes as a result of people giving tithes. And then the Spirit of God moves on them to give offerings above and beyond the tithes to specific things as those opportunities come forward, to missions, to ministries, to like the building fund and those kinds of things. So those are over and above the tithe. But if we hold back and don't respond to the Lord that way, then we become not fully funded or not reaching our potential financially. But you guys are great in that. I'm not going to fuss about that and put that, you know, like I said, you guys are very, very generous people, and that's a wonderful thing. It enables us to do a lot as a result of your generosity. But we want to be able to increase in our effectiveness as we are fully functional and fully funded. And then accomplishing our mission and purpose. And the way we do this is, again, as stated in our brochure, is the emphasis of living by the Word. We want to be obedient to the Word of God. He is the one that gives us the direction for our lives, and we'll do no better than being obedient to the Word and the direction that He gives us through His Word. We also want to accomplish our mission and purpose by effective small groups. Here's one of the things that I've learned over the years and in the history of our church, and in a strong emphasis that we put on small groups many years ago. Here's one of the things that I've learned as a result of experience. Not one size fits all. We tried to do that quite a few years ago. We tried to put everyone in groups and make all the groups similar and all of them multi-generational, multi, you know, men, women, and everything. And they, you know, worked as people felt, you know, an obligation maybe or a duty to go and respond, but they just didn't have the impetus to keep going. And I realized part of that, there can be a lot of different reasons what was going on, but part of that was that we were trying to make one size fits all. And so we've made adjustments over the years, and we still desire to challenge to people to be a part of a small group in some fashion or another, because there's a lot that happens in small group that doesn't happen in the big congregation. Now, in a sense, our church, the size that it is kind of a small group. I mean, it's not like we are a mega church with thousands of people where you walk in the door and you might have seen that person once in a year, but you both attend the church every same Sunday, whatever. It's like this isn't that kind of a church. It's still kind of like Oliver says, we're like family, and it works. However, there is still a dynamic that doesn't transpire in the full congregation that does transpire in small groups, so we will continue to encourage that. And we have some things that are going on, some things that I believe are being effective. One is we have a ladies' small group that Bev is leading, and we also have the men's fraternity. That's just been an awesome thing. Now, that's just kind of a seasonal thing. It doesn't go all year round. But when we are watching the DVDs and then we get together in our small groups, there's interaction that's going on that I believe that is helpful and helps us to grow together and to encourage one another in that growth. Melanie's been working quite a bit with the 20-somethings, and we've had kind of a holiday break here, kind of backed off of that a little bit, need to get going on that again, but there's been effective activity going on with the 20-somethings. We also have a parenting curriculum, like I mentioned. Steve and Linda give leadership and direction to the Growing Kids God's Way, and that's also kind of a seasonal thing. But the best kind of dynamic for that kind of ministry to be happening with parents with small children, learning how to train their children, is in that small group. We don't just do them up here in front of the whole congregation, the video curriculum. And the small group activity is where there's questions able to be asked and answered, and that kind of interactivity that makes it very effective. Well, we just want to continue growing in effective small groups. Sometimes those things lead to a one-on-one mentoring kind of thing. You get close to someone in a small group, and then pretty soon you're off individually with someone who is mentoring, or you are mentoring someone else. And it just leads to greater effectiveness in fulfilling our purpose of loving God and people too, and making followers of Jesus. We see the small group as being an effective dynamic in that process, and want to encourage that as a congregation. Now, as I've said, not one size fits all. And you may have an idea for a small group, an affinity group, that you gather around some particular area of interest, and it draws a group together and makes opportunity for inviting others into that group, that kind of thing. We encourage that. We're not here to say, okay, it's got to fit our mold before you can have a small group. It's not a one-size-fits-all. I just want you to be aware of that so that you can be a part of that. The other thing is we have all kinds of materials that we can supply to you for working one-on-one with an individual or with a small group, depending on the level of spiritual maturity or new believers in Christ, that kind of thing. We have materials that we can help you with those kinds of things. So don't just go, I wouldn't know what to do. I have no idea what I would do. So we can help you out with that. And that's part of our intent and our purpose is to create an environment where those things can easily be done. Okay, so we also want to increase in our effective outreaches. Increasing in effective outreaches. Now, part of that is individual, meaning you have a sphere of influence where you have an opportunity to impact people for the sake of the Lord. And we want to encourage that for you to increase in your ability to reach out. That being through teaching, that also being through opportunity for you to be a witness, those kinds of things. So it is for individual, but it's also corporate. And that is, there is outreach that we can only accomplish as a body working together. Amen, Charlie? when the body comes together to work for a particular outreach, that is one of the ways that we become more effective in reaching out to the area that is around us. Speaking of the area that is around us, I want to share just a little bit about our area of jurisdiction, as I call it. That's a term that I feel like, well, it's actually a the biblical term would be field of assignment. But to me, the understanding is it's like an area of jurisdiction where you have an area to give leadership to. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail of that. But we've talked about this in the past, and in fact, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we have a map on our bulletin board that's down the hall. Now, I realize that sometimes when things are there for a while, you learn not to see them anymore. It's not like you learn, but I mean, it just, pretty soon you're walking by, you just take no notice. In fact, when this was brought up about what's the area that we're trying to reach, I was sitting there thinking, you know, I think we have a map on the bulletin board, but I don't remember if that's there still or not. You know, how many times do I walk by that during the week? And I went back and I looked and I go, yep, it's still there. But the point of it is we have, you know, over a significant period of time have felt like we have an area that we can be effective personally in. And we've kind of laid that out with some boundaries of highways here. There's a nice Google map that I've done some drawing on. But we consider I-90 to the south of us, Highway 63 to the east of us, Highway 60 to the north of us, and I-35 on the west of us. And that is kind of like a 20-mile radius, although it's not circular. It's more rectangular or square or whatever. But got a corner off there because 90 goes down to Rochester. Anyway, up to Rochester. Excuse me, I get my directions mixed up. But this we have seen as the possibility of us being effective in reaching out. When you start getting beyond that, distance is a challenge. But anyway, we've got some spots here where we're having, and this is where you all live. Now, I haven't put everyone's house on this map. You know, it'd get a little confusing. But the general kind of community where your address is, okay? So we are having some impact on this area. Would like to see it increase as we're increasing in our effectiveness and reaching our area of jurisdiction. And I'll give you a little bit later some details about this area where there's certainly potential for us to increase in our effectiveness. But anyway, this is kind of the area that we see as being where we can have an impact. But we're not just responsible for this area. We are responsible beyond this area when Jesus gives the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But we realize that we don't always go everywhere in the world, but we impact the world through our support of other missions and ministries beyond that area where we can physically impact. It's going to be difficult for us to go to, you know, Africa and be effective. But, you know, we could send Olivia, we did, you know, or others to different areas of the world and to have an impact. And so beyond this area of jurisdiction, as I've described it, we want to be supportive of missions and ministries that are reaching the other parts of the world. Okay, then also for us to increase in effectiveness in our fulfilling our mission and our purpose of loving God and people too, and making followers of Jesus, we want to increase in our effectiveness of assimilation, meaning bringing people into the congregation. This is something where, you know, we could have the best message and we could have the best news to share with people. We could have the best programs that are here to help people to increase in their becoming complete in Christ Jesus. But if we're nasty when they come, they're not going to feel welcome here. You know, if we go, you know, I don't like the way you dress. Or, you know, when was the last time you showered? You know, I smell an aroma coming from you and it's not pleasant, you know, or whatever. You know, probably people would not stay or, you know, would not come back, that kind of thing. So there are ways for us to increase effectiveness in our assimilation. This is something that I put in the announcement sheet, that we encourage you to invite. First of all, extend an invitation. That's where you say, hey, come join the family. You might not say it in that manner, but you might say, hey, I'm part of a church that, you know, we have a good thing going on, and the pastor preaches awesome sermons, and you know, just come listen or come try us out. You know, our worship team is great, their, you know, music, and there is opportunity for you to grow in Christ. And so people usually don't go places without an invitation. So that's part of assimilating, effective assimilation. Then there's the introduction, where we want to introduce people to meet the Father, and our desire isn't through praise and worship for people to have the opportunity to encounter God and His presence, but also to meet the rest of the family, the other people that are part of this, and some of that can be most effective in small groups. interaction against small group activities. We want people to have the opportunity to rub shoulders with other believers and find someone that they can follow who's following after Christ and help us to increase in our effectiveness of making followers of Jesus. So interaction, small group activities. And that's household chores. Again, I've talked about this before. This is where you become so much a part of the family that we say, hey, you know what? There's work to be done here. And God has called you here. He's given you gifts so that you can employ those gifts in serving the other parts of the body so that we become fully functional as a part of the body of Christ. And so come join up with the activities. There's stuff to do in the kitchen. There's stuff to do in the bathroom, whatever, you know, and I'm speaking of those metaphorically, but this is a household, and so there are household chores, and we invite you to come and fulfill your part in that. And then also as the invite the neighbors or being effective in community outreach, as we want to increase our household, we want to be fruitful and multiply in this household. And so we encourage that inviting the neighbors or becoming involved in community activities and community outreach where you rub shoulders with people who are not of this church, people who are of the world, people who maybe don't have another church, and there's the opportunity again to establish relationship, to establish trust, to do the invitation, and to again increase in our assimilating, our effective assimilation. Let me talk some about facilitating needs. First of all, church is about the people. We always want to remember that. Church is about the people. It's not about programs unless programs are helping the people. You know, sometimes churches beat programs, dead horse programs, you know, to try and make them live. And they don't because they're not being effective. So we don't want to be about that. We want to be able to make adjustments as we go and not just do something because that's the way we've always done it. It's about the people and, again, making adjustments to be effective in meeting the needs of people, facilitating needs of people. There are individual needs and corporate needs. As we gather together, there are individual and corporate needs, spiritual needs, relational needs, emotional needs, and physical needs. And let's press towards greater effectiveness in facilitating those needs. We all have spiritual needs. We have spiritual need, first of all, for salvation. And then from there, to grow in our relationship with Christ, to become complete in Christ, to learn what the Word of God says so that we can be obedient to the Word. We all have relational needs. We need to be a part. God has not called us to be individuals just following Him. He's called us to be a part of a congregation. And there are relational needs in the congregation, and sometimes there's relational challenges in the congregation, and we need to learn how to deal with those things so there's restoration and there's continued fellowship and not division and strife and all those things that the devil just loves to throw into a congregation to tear it up. There's emotional needs with us as individuals and us as a congregation. We all need that joy of the Lord. Thank you, Larissa, for just encouraging us in that this morning, and that joy of the Lord being our strength and the joy of our salvation being renewed. There's emotional needs that we have. There's the need to be needed, you know, among us. Those are all emotional things that we desire to be a part of fulfilling and satisfying those things as we gather together in the Lord's presence. There's physical needs, and it's not like we are here as a congregation to meet everyone's physical needs. That's, you know, the intent. That's not the intent. You know, the Lord enables you to work with your hands and work with your gifts, work with your minds. He has given you the ability to obtain wealth, as the Scripture says, and so you're about meeting your family's needs and those kinds of things. But there are also circumstances that come up where it's very difficult or impossible to meet particular needs, and we as a congregation can bear one another's burdens and help one another with particular physical needs as well. And, you know, we want to be able to be effective in that, not realizing that, you know, we're going to hit the mark every time and everyone's need is going to always be met by the congregation, but to participate, to be a part of that and be increasing in our effectiveness in that. Well, as a congregation, we also have a particular physical need with a building to meet in, especially living in Minnesota, where we're, you know, we experience the extremes of the weather, and we're glad to be able to have facilities, physical facilities to meet those kinds of needs as well. But let me see. But I want you to completely understand this, that building facilities are not a measure of success. Let me hear an amen, a strong amen. We just need to understand that. Building facilities are not a measure of success. Facilities facilitate the physical needs of people. That's really what all it does. Facilities facilitate the physical needs of people. However, it is very important, like I said, if we were out in the parking lot instead of in this building, my messages would have to be a whole lot shorter, especially today, and Isaiah would have to learn how to play his guitar with gloves on, that would be a challenge. But so we're glad for facilities, for buildings. It is very important, and this is something else that I've learned over the years, that it's more than just square footage. Okay, years ago, to me, the only thing was, area, room. It doesn't matter what it looks like, just, have a place to meet. And part of this came as a revelation to me when I remember years ago my wife saying to me, as we were talking about our house and, increasing the appearance of our house, making changes and that kind of thing, and we weren't always in agreement about what we should do or the cost of things to be done. And one day she told me, you would be happy living in the neighbor's shed. And I said, is it available? I didn't know it was available, because, yeah, I would. To me, it's just square footage. But in reality, and you can all be thankful for my wife and others who are in this congregation, who've said, when you go in a building, it's more than just square footage. You do some things that make it conducive for worship, some things that make it conducive for fellowship, some things that make it an inviting and appealing place to be, not just square footage with concrete floors and brick walls and that kind of thing. And so that's something that I've learned over the years. It's more than just square footage. We do desire to have an environment that is conducive for worship and for ministry. This is one of the things that I'd like to say regarding our experience of God's grace with facilities. I believe that God has been very gracious to us with facilities to facilitate the physical needs of a congregation gathering together. We started out with the building that is on Main Street that is now Club IOU. We were in there for 5 years, and we started that in 1986. In the middle of 1990, we had 5 acres that was donated to us on right next to the highway out here on this street and right next to the highway that has become, with the addition of Highway 14, has become some prime real estate that we've had people, knocking on our doors, calling us up saying, can we, acquire that property? And but that was donated to us, and I won't go into all the details about that. It's a fun story, but I'm just not going to take the time today. In that same year of 1990, we acquired this building before the addition, this facility, and we started meeting here and kept the building uptown for the youth center. And it was in 1996 that I received a word of the Lord about building on the land. We got the land, we got this building, still had this land, but the Lord spoke specifically about building on that piece of property, saying that it was His will that we have a church building on that property, and that it would be a testimony for Him. Again, I'm not going to go into all the details. It's a fun story. Someday maybe I will. But I had a little argument with the Lord as I was laid out on the ground and He was ministering to me and we were speaking and, He spoke about a building and I started arguing. And okay, why would I argue? Well, because, and in my mind at that point I'm thinking, okay, the cost of that kind of, size facilities and, Lord, is it really the right thing to do? And He just spoke and said, it will be a testimony for me. And, but anyway, He also, I believe, gave some direction when He spoke regarding a size to build. The numbers 300 expandable to 500 is what came to me. So here's one of the things that I do not want to say, though, is that I did not receive a word of the Lord saying, if you build it, they will come. Okay? That's only in your dreams or only in your field of dreams. Okay, that was, the Lord did not say that, if you build it, they will come. But we did respond with that word of the Lord and started coming up with a building design and plan. We have floor plans and we have a property plan for that piece of property to develop it. And I'm not saying that this will be exactly what it's going to be. Because one of the things that I've realized is man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. We do our best to come up with a plan, but God always has the freedom, at least we better give him that freedom, to adjust that so that it's his direction, his steps that are directing us and not just our plans. But there's a picture of the model, that we have a model, but never mind. Anyway, that's a picture of the model, and we do have a floor plan for that. So that came after the word of the Lord regarding the property. And then there came the addition to this facility. And I just threw up some pictures here. This is going to be fun. I'll just do it quick. Steve and Linda cutting up trees that we had to... Oh, you see that? Whoops. Rodney's Explorer, or is Rodney's Bronco. Anyway, with the lights on it from snow plowing. Moving on. Haven't some people changed over the years? I think that's Isaiah and Nathaniel. Anyway, here's moving those sheds. We had to pick them up, move them. Randy and Isaac got on the tractor and the skidster loader, lifted it up from both sides, put it on a wagon, and moved it up. And then I think Isaac got the skidster loader stuck, so Daryl had to pull it out. So, but then there's the foundations that's going down and that concrete being pumped in there for that. And then the framing started going up. And this is probably the biggest project we've undertaken yet. But the Lord has supplied in that. There's a ceiling going on from the underside, siding going up on the side, interior work, the concrete floor, and the walls going up, the studs and insulation and the sheetrock, more interior work. Steve screwing the sheetrock on. This is when we had to redo the corner for putting the furnace room in there, cutting up the concrete, and there's Mr. Gronseth helping tear apart the old offices for us to put it in the bathrooms, the new bathrooms there. And then there's Dad working with some electrical and parking lot paving, and it's all kind of cool stuff. But one of the things that I'm so glad about is that I don't have to prop up a vision for buildings, because buildings is not success. They facilitate the needs of people, and we need buildings. But I don't feel like I have to rah, 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 let's go on to the next building project, or rah, 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 even with this building project. I felt like the Lord gave an invitation. When we were going to start this building project, I felt like He gave an invitation in which He said this, to invite people to participate in 20 equivalents of $100 per month. Equivalents, what the Lord made it clear to me that an equivalent is not just everyone who participates has to do $100. That equivalents would be, like two people doing 50 would be an equivalent of 100. And anyway, over the years, and particularly if you go to this last year's the finance report, there's a line in there that talks about giving to the building fund or giving to the building loan donations. And at present, we're doing about 10 of those 20 equivalents of 100. Almost $12,000 this last year towards the building loan payments. And that's a good thing. First of all, I'm just commending you for that. But this is what I'm saying as well, is this was extended, first of all, as an invitation, not an obligation. God said, invite people to participate in the 20 equivalents of $100 a month. Now, you can see there's still some more equivalents that can be done. If He extended the invitation to 20, there's still some more. And like I said, it doesn't have to be $100 each. It could be, a couple people doing 50 or four people doing 25. I remember some youth kids being involved at $10 a month. Awesome. That was a part of meeting one of those equivalents. And so anyway, the point of it is this is, I believe, extended as an invitation of the Lord for you to participate. And if you choose to do that, I believe with that comes the blessing of the Lord. That he doesn't just invite you to participate in something that he's not going to bless you in response as a result of your response to him. And so I just toss that out. I don't have to prop this up. I don't have to push at you and say, come on, we got to meet this, whatever. We make our building payments on a monthly basis. And this would allow us, if we met that 20 equivalents, we could be making our payment. We also give 10% of whatever comes into the building fund. We sow that as seed into Living Water Teaching, Gary Walters in Honduras, towards their building projects. So we're always sowing our seed as we're receiving it as well, tithing really that building fund or the building loan payment fund. And so it would not only allow us to make our payments, do that, but also sow the seed, but also would give us extra to pay down that loan in a hurry. And really, I feel like before we are seeing the next building come, the next adventure in building come to facilitate needs, first of all, I believe we'll see this one completed and it's being paid off. The other thing is, we don't need the facilities right now for 300 expandable to 500. We got to grow some first, but I believe there is the potential for us to grow. Remember, this message is not about buildings, and I'm not trying to stir us up to rally us up to a new piece of property and new buildings. What I'm trying to say is that God has supplied us, facilitated our needs for physical needs, and there's things we've been able to do with this addition that we weren't able, that would never have been able to do. As we were before. So I'm so thankful for the Lord's direction for this, which was a step into what I believe the Lord has for us in the future. But here again, we're recording the vision and we're waiting patiently for it to come. We don't have to press it. We don't have to get ahead of God's timing on these things. But just know that they're there and we have the opportunity to participate in them. And we have an invitation from the Lord to participate in them. Let me talk about numbers. First of all, numbers mean people. And we put this phrase in our attendance record in the announcements every week. We say, we count people because people count. And that's true. That's the reason why we count people is because people count. Numbers are not success. Everyone say that. Numbers are not success. Sometimes pastors get all hung up about how many people are attending, and that really proves whether the pastor is worth his salt or not because there's a good attendance. That's not the measure of success. However, numbers do mean people. And when numbers increase, I believe that means that more people are being impacted and affected. And so, you know, we desire to see our numbers increase, but it's not so that we can be more successful, because numbers are not success. We need to remember that. What is successful is being faithful with what we've been entrusted with. However, again, if I go back to that word of the Lord regarding the facility's new building, if the Lord spoke this about 300 expandable to 500, well, that kind of puts some expectations inside of me. You know, why would he say 300 if we're going to be a congregation that's always 100? Two-thirds empty, that doesn't make a lot of facilitative sense, I guess. And so anyway, so there's kind of this anticipation of, you know, increasing at least to that size. And let me say this too, when we were talking about this area of jurisdiction, we hired a company to do some demographic studies regarding that area and came to discover that there are like 65,000 people in this area, not including the cities that are on the fringe, like the population of Rochester, the population of Owatonna, population of Faribault, the population of Albert Lee, Austin. You know, we excluded those populated areas, but within that, the other area of jurisdiction, there's like 65,000 people. And at the time of that study, there was the reality of approximately 40,000 of those not practicing an act of faith. So with there's, you know, the numbers of 40,000, and I doubt that's decreased, you know, it's probably increased over the years since we had that study done. There's all kind of potential for us to probably reach 300, isn't there? Out of 40,000, So anyway, what we need to do is we need to increase our expectations about being more effective in reaching this area that is ours to lay claim to, or this area of jurisdiction that the Lord has called us to be a part of, reaching the area. Again, we're not the only church that's here, and we're not saying that when we say we're laying claim to this territory. We know that there's a whole bunch of other churches that are doing the same as well in different ways, different visions, different personalities of churches and pastors, and we're all a part of that. We're not trying to compete or say we're the only ones by any means. But just so you have an idea of kind of where I'm coming from and what we can press for as a people. Now, we need to talk about, I guess I already gave you the demographics of this area, so I don't need to go on with that. But we need to talk about what is our part and what is God's part. Because there's always that. Whenever you're looking at what's to be done, there is our part and there is God's part. First of all, increasing effectiveness of outreach. That's our part. We need to be able to press for that, increasing effectiveness in our outreach. That's our part. And also increasing effectiveness in assimilation, assimilating new people into the congregation. That's our part. Loving God and people too, and making followers of Jesus. That's our part. That's our part. That's what we fulfill. Okay? Can't leave that up to God. That's our part. Loving God and people too, and making followers of Jesus. Being fully functional and fully funded, there's two parts to that. One is God's part, and that is what He has entrusted us with giftings. You know, how He has gifted you to participate in the body of Christ. That's up to God. He disperses the gifts as He wills. He entrusts people with gifts as He wills. He entrusts people with finances as He wills, as He blesses. But then our part is the response, our obedience to use the gifts that God has given us. Our obedience to steward the finances that He has entrusted to us. That's our part. So for us to be a body that's fully functional and fully funded, there's God's part and there's our part. We need to understand which is which. How about people being drawn to the Lord? If we're to reach this area, to be effective in reaching this area, whose part is that, people being drawn to the Lord? Well, there's two parts to that. There's God's work in their heart, but there's also people's free will. You know, so maybe a long time ago, God told a whole bunch of, maybe He told 1,000 people go to Praise Fellowship Church, and they resisted for whatever reason. I don't like the pastor. He's too long-winded. I don't like the music. It's too fast, or it's too slow, or it's too loud, or it's too soft. You know, all kind of things come up when people are determining what church they want to go to, and I'm not saying that they should all be here. My point is, God draws people to Himself and to a congregation, and then people respond. He never usurps His will over theirs. He gives people a free will to choose. And then there is the part of giving us the increase, and that is God's part. Again, we see in Scripture, one sows the seed, one waters the seed, but God is the one who gives the increase. So we see there's a lot of factors involved in us being more effective. A great deal of it is our own response. Some of it is the Lord's response or the Lord's activity in people's lives. And some of it is people just responding with their own free will. So let me kind of go back to the beginning, and as we were instructed with the Scripture, record the vision and make it plain. It says, the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. You know, one of the things that, when I look back, you know, here it was 1996 when I got that word of the Lord regarding the property and building on that property. Here it is 2011. That's 15 years later. You know, if we haven't done this yet in 15 years, why did the Lord speak that word that long ago? And I'm very confident that part of the reason why is because I think we'd have sold that property with all of the offers that we've had, some nice financial offers for even parts of that property. I think had not the Lord given that distinctive word about that, I would have and probably others would have counseled me out of this, I hope. But I would have said, you know what? We've got what we need here. Let's sell that, use the profit to, you know, either fix up or pay off or whatever here. And so, you know, I really feel like it was good. I got that word back then. It has stabilized us, and don't sell that property. God has plans for that. Even if we have to tarry for I don't care how many years, that's up to the Lord. I don't have to prop that vision up. I bring it before you. I share it. You know, it's recorded so we can run with it. You know, we have a plan. We have a design, those kinds of things. And when it's time, we will receive the ability to do it. Hallelujah. So though it tarries, we wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. So our part then is obedience to the completing work of the Lord in our lives. That's as individuals. And then here's where I want to encourage you as well, is prayer and laying claim to this area of our jurisdiction. And we need to, when we walk by, I'm going to encourage you as well as encourage myself. When you walk down the hall and you see that map, go, you know what? We just pray for this area. Lord, help us to reach the people that we are to reach in this area, the people that you will to be a part of this congregation, Lord. We pray for those people. Help us to increase in our effectiveness in reaching this area. Do that as you walk down the hall. Notice that thing on the bulletin board. Just don't walk by. By the way, there's other stuff on the bulletin board, too, you ought to take note of. But, you know, so let's pray and lay claim to this area of our jurisdiction. And pray for the financial prayer and financial support beyond our area. Just because we're focused on this area doesn't mean we're not focused on the world. But there's our part, and then there's the part of supporting others who are in those other areas of the world. And then pray this, thy will be done and thy kingdom come. Now, I realize that in the prayer that Jesus gave, I've got those flipped, but that's okay. We want to pray that the Lord's will be done and pray that his kingdom continues to advance, his kingdom come. Not just the end of time on earth as we know it, his kingdom come, but the advancing of his kingdom here in the earth as people give more and more rule to the Lord, his kingdom advances here in the earth. And so pray his kingdom come. But first of all, in my life, individualize it. Lord, I pray that your will be done and that your kingdom come in my life. And Lord, in this church, may your will be done in this church, Lord. May your kingdom come in this church, in this territory that you've called us to be personally involved in reaching out to. Lord, may your will be done and your kingdom come. And then complete that being completed on the earth, as it says in that prayer. I pray thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if you're a part of Praise Fellowship Church, I want you to know that you're a part of a people with purpose. You are a part of a people with purpose, and that it's our desire to attempt to do our part for you to fulfill the purpose that God has given you, and that you are a part of a people with vision. And we want to continue to progress and increase in our effectiveness with that mission and purpose and the vision that the Lord has given us. And keep that brochure with you. There's a whole bunch more available if you need some to distribute to other people and or to help you explain what our mission and purpose is for people that you may come in contact with and may want to do that part of assimilation and extending the invitation. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, you haven't called this group of people to gather together just for the social and relational enjoyment that we get when we come together. That's great. We enjoy that so much. But it's so far beyond that, Lord, with the mission and purpose you have given us biblically, Lord, to love God and people too and to make followers of Jesus and to reach out to this area where you have called us to personally have contact with the people of this surrounding area, Lord. There are so many people that are not yet in a practicing relationship with you, Lord. They might even have a church membership someplace, but Lord, they're not practicing their faith with you, and you've called us to be effective in reaching out to those that are not yet saved. So Lord, we pray, we lay this before you, and again, we see this with the understanding that we have at present. we're open for more information because, Lord, we make our plans with the information that we have, but you guide us and direct our steps. And that's our prayer, Father, that if this vision is to be increased in some format or some particular area, we open ourselves up to receive that from you so that we can increase in our effectiveness. But Father, we pray that each one of us may take the challenge of the fully functional as a participant of this body of believers and fully funded, Lord, as each one of us responds in the way that you have blessed us financially. And Father, we're just glad to be a part of something that you are doing in the earth today, glad to be a part of being effective in this, reaching people before Jesus comes back. We know that the time is short, and so we want to be effective, Lord, in doing our part as a part of the body of Christ. Father, we thank you for your work, the work of your ministry, of your Spirit in our lives, ministering unto us, drawing us closer to you, increasing us in our completeness, and we desire to yield to that process as it continues. Thank you, Lord. And I just want to pray your blessing upon this people. You've gathered together an awesome group of people, Lord, with gifts and talents and with spiritual maturity and the ability to deal properly with issues and relational matters and all those kinds of things. I'm just so glad, Father, for the way that you have blessed this congregation. And I just see that increasing, Lord, as we continue in the days to come, increasing in that the blessing of this congregation. We pray all this and put it before you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Whew. A lot to share in a short. Short is a relative term. In a short time. So you're dismissed to go back and enjoy the refreshments and